I don't know if there's any announcements. Dan sort of covered it for Becky, right? Becky, who announced that the Christmas Victorian luncheon is next Sunday afternoon, and if you haven't paid Becky the $6, please do so as soon as possible.
Can I clarify what Dan
Certainly.
Said about the addresses? I want that sheet ready to give out to everybody on Thursday night, so I can't get the final corrections that I have to have them at least say by Wednesday. So if you know anything or anybody that's been missed that is not on the last list you have, just let me know, because I want it to come right, you know. So then we'll hand it out Thursday night and have some for next Sunday too for everybody that wants to know who's here and where they are and all that kind of thing.
Sounds good. Let's just look to the Lord for a moment before we begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, we would just like to pause in your presence, thanking you for who you are, Father. Thanking you for all you have done for us. Thanking you, Father, for sending your Son, your only beloved Son, to go up that cruel cross, as we heard this morning, up that hill to that cruel cross that we were talking about this morning at the Lord's Supper. We just thank you, Father, that he was willing to do that, and then because of his shed blood, we can belong to you for eternity when we accept that gift. Thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for each lady here. We ask your blessing as we look into your word now in your Son's most precious name. Amen. So as you've heard, we're supposed to talk about the Lord's Supper today, meeting that just preceded this meeting from 9:30 to 10:30. We meet here at the Blaisdell Gospel Chapel every Sunday. Now, there's two ordinances that the Lord left for us. 2 weeks ago today, I think it was, that we talked about baptism, studying about baptism. And if you remember, baptism is only necessary once after you've trusted Christ as Savior. It's by immersion in water, and it's to enable us to identify with Christ. Those that look upon us being baptized know that we have trusted Christ as Savior. As we go down into the waters and are raised up again, it shows that we identify with him. So the other one is the Lord's Supper, which is our assignment for today. The Lord's Supper is a very simple memorial service. I think a lot of people are shocked, maybe if they come for the first time, that it is so simple. It's unstructured. We don't know which of the men are going to get up. We don't know what thought the Lord is giving to them. But the Holy Spirit just puts that into their hearts and minds, and they stand up and they speak. And it's always amazing to me how many times it just dovetails all together. You know, they come from different parts, and yet, by the Holy Spirit, it's a most beautiful service. And this memorial service enables us, each of us that have trusted him as Savior, to gratefully remember what he has done for us. And it's in a simple way, just bread and wine. And we'll talk about that a little later. And as I usually say, if you have anything to say, please let me see your hand or just talk. You know, whenever a lot of times when you want to talk about a lesson or you look into a portion for yourself or even in other things, you say, you know, the who, what, when, where, why, and all that. I thought we'd look from that perspective at the Lord's Supper. Now, there's many suppers mentioned in the Word of God, but this one is unique in the fact that it's called the Lord's Supper. It's distinguished by that title, the Lord's Supper. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself instituted it for his people so that we have an opportunity of expressing to him our love and our worship and so forth. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice already. Someone of you might have to do this. We express our praise and our gratitude and our worship to him. And you know, the interesting thing is that at that service, he alone is the focal point. He should be. It's all to him and of him. You know, it's easy for us to focus on a lot of other things, and we're going to talk about that a little later too. But he is the focal point of that meeting. Let's just look for a minute at Acts 27:29. I don't have an awful lot of scriptures for you to turn to, but just I remember Mr. Ed Palmer many times using this scripture with the four anchors. Let's see, where's the 29? It says, this is when Paul was on one of his missionary journeys and he was in a shipwreck. It says, and fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And his four anchors were like the virgin birth of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection, etc. I was kind of thinking of, at the Lord's Supper, we focus on four different anchors. On the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, on his death, on his burial, and his resurrection. He is the focal point. Now let's turn to Matthew 26. Where will be first. Thank you. This is easy to remember when you want to think about where this, the Lord instituted this. It's Matthew 26. Verse 26. Easy way to remember. Let's just read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ himself instituted that as they ate, he, Jesus, took bread and blessed it and broke it. Now I also want to go to 1 Corinthians 11. Those are the two main scriptures that we'll focus on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll begin at verse 23. I'm sure you've heard this if you've been to the Lord's Supper. You've heard this many times, especially like at a, maybe at a conference time when there's a lot of people here who we don't know if they belong to the Lord or not. One of the men will read this. It's probably the classic scripture for this. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. And I'm only going to read down to verse 29 right now. For I have received of the Lord. This was a special revelation to the Apostle Paul. For I have received of the Lord, and so that's who's speaking, I, that's Paul, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's a memorial. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, or you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I just have to make one little correction, Schofield. Can I do that? If you have an old Schofield Bible, he has the heading of that, the order and meaning of the Lord's table. Not the Lord's table. It's the order and meaning of the Lord's supper. What is the Lord's table? As opposed to the Lord's Supper. Well, I'm not waiting for
1 Corinthians 10.
Yeah. All right. Go to it. We won't read this. Go ahead. Just read what the pertinent verse. We don't want to read the whole thing. Starts at 21, doesn't it? Something around there.
21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils.
Okay, what is the Lord's table from that scripture right there?
The comparison to the devil's table.
Yeah. All right. So I think the point that I wanted to mainly bring across is that the Lord's table is something to which we can be all the time, right? We can be at his table in prayer. We can be at his table in reading his word, in talking of others about the things of the Lord. In other words, learning from him. That's his table. It's a provision that's always there. We just have to avail ourselves of it. But now the Lord's Supper is totally different. The Lord's Supper is when we come to remember him. It's a memorial and a proclamation service. And we'll talk about that a little more as we get into this. Okay, so the who, when, what, why, and what. We're going to start with what is it. Now, we've said a little bit about that, but I just want to stress again that it's a remembrance service. It's to remember his name. It's to remember his work, his love, his affliction, his miracles, his words, many things, but all connected with him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and remembered at that meeting. You know, the Lord's Supper is a New Testament term for believers, and it's for remembrance and proclamation. Whereas the Lord's table is for fellowship and to learn at his feet, to enjoy the provision of his grace and all he has done for us. A little chorus comes to mind sometimes when I think about this. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do less and give him my best after all he's done for me? He certainly has done for you and for me, has he not? When we're at his table, we get to know him better and better. We learn more of him. We learn how he would have us to walk. We learn that we should desire him more and more. I like to say, I maybe said it before, I'm at the age where you repeat yourself quite a bit. But I like to say the fact that today you should know more about him than you did yesterday or last week. If we're in his word, if we're fellowshipping with believers, and we're at his table, we will know more of him, more and more. And you know, you never can know enough about the Lord. Never, ever can you know enough about the Lord. It's been said many times that a king's request is a command. Well, we certainly have this request from the King of Kings. It's something he has asked us to do. If we have trusted the Lord, as I say, if we know him for walking with him, it's where we should be on a Sunday morning. Okay, when should we be at the Lord's Supper? We have the what, now the when. 1 Corinthians 11, as we looked at a few moments ago, 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show or proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." As often. Now, I know there's many places celebrate the Lord's Supper, or they call it communion or something like that, maybe once a month or maybe at holiday time. But, you know, I think that's why I just am in love with the assembly way of meeting. Because it's as often, it's the first day of the week that we're to be together to remember the Lord. How about somebody reading Acts 20, verse 7? When was it? On the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. It begins on Sunday, and that's the first day of the week. So that's when we're to get together, to come together. The blood bought believers. I'll get that out after a while. They came together to break bread. I wanted to ask us, do we look forward to it each week, or is it a chore? Oh, I got to get up early and get there by 9:30. Shouldn't be that. We need to look forward to it each week. You know why? Because you've heard many of the men say it in the Lord's Supper. We're a forgetful people. We get so many things crowded in during the week. Sometimes we forget to think about the Lord, and we forget to remember what he has done for us. And it should be our desire. You shouldn't come because you have to come. And you shouldn't come because you're just feel you're forced into it. It should be out of a loving heart of remembrance that we come to remember the Lord, to gather around His name and to honor Him and worship Him and proclaim all He's done. And you know the thing is, we gather around simple things, a loaf of bread and a cup of wine, which symbolize what the Lord went through. I shouldn't say we gather around them. We are around them, but we gather for the Lord, in the name of the Lord. And it's to remember. And you know what? It's 1 hour, only 1 hour long. Remember, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than doing that? 1 hour. It's a very moving hour. It's a moving time to give thanks and to remember what the Lord has done for us and to worship Him with a heart of love. And you know, it's easy sometimes to get distracted at that meeting. You see other people come in, and seeing women, we say, ooh, I think it's a new dress or something like that. You know, that's not what we're there for. We're there to remember the Lord. And you know, I find myself sometimes, did I tell my husband to put the meat in at the right time, or did I do this, or did he, you know, it's just, it's women things, you know. But I find more than not, the Lord will bring me up short, and a certain hymn will come into my mind. And it's a beautiful hymn. It's not in our present books, I wish it was, but it was in one of our old ones. And He just brings these thoughts sometimes to my mind. And it's, when I see my Savior hanging on Calvary's tree, bearing there for sinners bitterest agony, gratitude overwhelms me, makes mine eyes grow dim. All my ransomed being captive is to Him. And it just seems to shake me out of whatever I was in, where I was drifting, where my mind was drifting, to bring me back to thinking of what I'm supposed to be there for, focusing on what the Lord has done for me. If you love Him, why would you not want to be where you can remember Him as a group, as a corporate group, to give praise to Him and to honor and to love Him publicly? Okay, let's talk about where this service should be held. Anybody have anything to say? Okay. The Bible tells us in Luke 22, you don't have to turn to it unless you want to, Luke 22:12, is where the Lord was telling the disciples to prepare the Passover for Him, where He would eat the Passover with them. And the Bible says that it was to be a large room. And I got thinking about that. Why a large room? But I think it's because it's an invitation to whosoever loves me, come and remember what I did. Many of there are can come that know the Lord. And it was furnished simply. This was bread and wine. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But then it says that it should be an upper room. And I thought, oh, you know, are we doing something wrong? We don't have an upper room. We're not in an upper room, if you take it literally. But you know what I think that meant? I think it meant upper in the sense of being away from whatever's going on out in the street or anything like that, where you can just focus and think about the Lord, not the bustling and hustling of what's going on outside. I don't know. Anybody have a thought on that? An upper room? It says an upper room, a large upper room.
I think that's what it would mean, up and away from.
Just away from the cares of the world.
I just dashed in my head that we need to pray for, like, the people in Saudi Arabia and some of the countries where they're not allowed to have services.
Right.
Whenever they meet for the Lord and do anything, they have to put the radio on and have all kind of food sitting around in the room where they are, because if the authorities break in, it doesn't look like they're having a meeting.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, they'll all be put in prison and beaten up. So, you know, we should be glad we could have an upper room.
Isn't that true? We don't really think of it in regards to what goes on in other parts of the world. And we can come so
there
freely.
There are believers everywhere there.
Yeah,
isn't
that amazing?
Wonderful.
Yeah, never. Yeah. So it's a Christian or a believer's responsibility, I think, to be here if you can. To be present at this memorial service to remember the Lord. And now, you know, there's a few things about coming. You should be on time. I think that's very critical, very important. And I remember an older sister one time, and this is not me saying it, so don't get mad at me. But she said, you know, I know some of the ladies come in and they put their head coverings on after they're here. They should come in in an attitude of remembering the Lord, covering their glory so that he gets the glory. That was her thought. I'm just passing it on to you.
When I was in Africa, I was outside the chapel, and they probably said, put your head covering on, sister, before you go in. So, you know, we don't think it. We get more and more in the habit of just the second meeting, we're off the comes, you know.
Yeah.
It's
you,
like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that's what, of course, that's just where the little things, so before I come up, I go in the ladies and put it on, so it's not like, but anyway. I want to come prepared. Now, wait a minute, I thought just the men had to speak. The women are silent at that meeting, right? But the women remain silent in the churches. But, you know, as a woman, we can come prepared, too. We don't speak audibly, but out of our hearts can flow thoughts to the Lord of what he means to us and what he's done for us and so forth and so on. So we should think during the week of, I know we're busy, but we're just times when we should think a little about the fact that we're going to the Lord's Supper. You know, am I just going and not even giving it a thought? Or are we preparing in our hearts and minds the fact that he loved us, he gave himself for us, and we need to remember him?
Audrey, on that, I think it's really important that if the women are not thinking spiritually, worshiping, praying along in their hearts, the men usually do not have anything, you know, nearly as much work giving. Mm-hmm. I think that is true in the home, too. A woman's spirituality in a home affects the husband. But if you have a bunch of people, you know, of women that are always thinking about everything else and don't care about the Lord, your whole spiritual atmosphere of the whole group goes way down.
I really believe that's true, because that's God's order, right? And that, and he does things in the perfect order. That's good. Thank
and
you.
The other thing is neat is if you're thinking about a hymn or a thought, and one of the men gets up and
says, I know.
I was
just thinking of it, right? I know. That's a wonderful feeling, because you know it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're to be reverent at this meeting and quiet. We're not supposed to come in and chat about what your kid did during the week that was the most fantastic thing that a kid could ever do at his age or her age. We're not supposed to be talking about things like that. Our focus should be on the Lord. So we come in reverently and sit quietly. Now I know sometimes somebody comes up and talks to you and you have to answer. I try to answer in monosyllables. Maybe you know I don't want to talk right now. But, you know, I'm not saying when you first get here and there's nobody here that you can't say something, but you should be reverent and you should be quiet at that meeting. And also, we're to concentrate on what we're there for. Not just any old meeting. It's a very important remembrance meeting. Okay, why should we be there? Well, we sort of hit that in a lot of cylinders. But anyway, it's because we should desire to be there at his and be obedient to his invitation. It's interesting at that meeting that he is the host. You know, a lot of times you say, oh, this is going to do this, this is... No, the Lord directs by his Holy Spirit what goes on. Do you remember on the road to Emmaus, I think, and they said, it's getting late, come stay with us. The two disciples said to the Lord, come and stay with us. And so he went into their home, and it says, as he broke bread. It was their home, but he broke bread. He was the host, wasn't he, in a sense? And that's the way it is. Anyway, when he did that, they saw the nail prints. I'm sure that they knew who he was. But anyway, that's another lesson. But he is the host of this meeting. It's under the direction of him, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that things are said and things are done and things are sung and so forth. This is an invitation, as I said, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I said before that a king's request is a command. This is certainly a command to believers, to those who have trusted in the Lord. I keep saying that over and over again because it's important to know that at this meeting, we should be aware of the fact that we belong to the Lord, that we've asked for forgiveness for our sins, that we've accepted that free gift that he so freely offered to us. And also in Luke 22:15 it says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you, I believe is the way it goes. And you know, this desire wasn't just something that came about because he was going to be crucified. It's from eternity past. It was in God's mind and heart as to how his people would meet to remember his son, whom he had sent to be the Savior of the world. Even way back in Leviticus 23, it speaks of the feasts of the Lord and the different times of people coming together. And remember, this is a unique one. It is the Lord's Supper, not just any supper. I also want to state that the Old Testament Jehovah, where it speaks of a lot of things in those feasts, is the New Testament Jesus. It's Jesus way back in eternity past. Did we look at 1 Corinthians 5, 7? Let me just see what that is. I got it written down, but I don't have what it is. The end of the verse says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Way back in the Old Testament was the Passover organized and set up. Way back then. So it's from eternity's past, even further back than that. The Lord does everything in the proper way and in the right order.
Not everybody might realize that when Christ was actually crucified, it was the exact time that they were killing the lamb for the Passover. And they didn't want to kill him that day. They tried, you know, there was a lot of things that just, you know, they didn't want it. In fact, they had to quick get him off the cross so they wouldn't defile their holy day. But mm-hmm. It was the exact time, and God forced everything so that Christ was sacrificed and killed exactly the right time.
That's amazing.
To fulfill the Passover.
That's great. So what was predicted in the Old Testament was claimed by the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and he carried it out to the nth degree. Okay, I know I'm going rather fast through this, but how should we do this? How should we observe this request? Well, in simplicity, I said it was only bread and only wine. I was thinking of that a song this morning of this hymn, Only Bread and Only Wine. It's a hymn that we sing about that. I don't remember all the words right now, but anyway, that I was thinking of John 12:24, I think, where it says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Well, you know, if you think about that, corn of wheat is really a grain. And if you think about what it goes through, that little grain, to die into the ground and shoot up a new shoot and then bring the plant up and then grow the fruit or whatever it is, the corn to harvest, then it has to be crushed and ground and then it has to be baked in an oven. It goes through a lot, right? And we can relate that to what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. You know, Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He went through it all to redeem you and to redeem me. He loved us that much that he was willing to, like that corn or that grain, to be crushed and ground and so forth. When I think again of that when I see my Savior hanging in Calvary, think of his back plowed like this with furrows. You know what a field looks like when a plow has been run through it. His beard plucked from his face, a crown of thorns, and fig thorns, as we said a few weeks ago. So he went through everything for us. How can we not gather to remember him on the first day of the week? The Lord knew, as I said, from eternity's past, that only the shedding of blood was going to be the payment for our sins. And he said, it says in the garden, before he even went to the cross, that he sweat as it were great drops of blood. But the blood that was shed on the cross is what atones for our sins, what is the payment to bring us to God. Side pierced, bleeding from probably all parts of his body because he loves us. It's just amazing. In Leviticus, we're told that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Many places don't want to speak about the blood of Christ because they say, well, you know, it's a bloody religion. We don't want to. It's life because him shedding his blood for you and for me. In Hebrews, we're told that all things were purged with blood. And that blood is the most important thing to our salvation. It was his blood, not ours. His blood. But it certainly, all of it shows the necessity that he had to do that. Remember he said, you know, if it's your will, I'll do it. You know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was necessary. And it certainly is efficacious to do away with our sins. There was no other way. No other way. Okay, now, you know, a couple minutes that we have left. Who should be at this meeting? Of course, it's those who are blood-bought believers. I said it that time without stumbling. and they're saved by His grace and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Those who love the Lord and want to be obedient to him, and those who are sound in their life and their doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, as we read here, said that let a man or a woman examine himself. You're not supposed to examine somebody else and say, oh, maybe she shouldn't be here, and so forth. We're to examine ourselves. It's an inward look. Lord, am I right with you? Am I living the way I should? And so forth. Uncle Dave one time, a long time ago, had three looks in this little passage here. In verse 25, it was a backward look to when the Lord instituted this feast. And then in verse 26, it's a forward look, proclaiming what the Lord has done. And then where we examine ourselves, it's an inward look. Three looks, three different looks. Now if we say, I should say, when we examine ourselves, we ask the Lord to show us if there's anything that we should get right before we come to this meeting. You know, if you have something against somebody or something, get it right before you come. It gives you a heart of love for the Lord when you know that you're in the right relationship with the Lord. Then I put down at the end, why not come? Well, there are reasons. If someone is living in open sin, certainly they should probably. Would you say they should not come, or they should just sit back?
Well, if they want to come, they're certainly welcome to
They're certainly welcome.
But if they haven't taken care of their sins.
Right, they shouldn't
they
take the
shouldn't
part.
Right.
Usually
by the time they want to come,
everything's been straightened out.
They don't want to be near anybody.
Right, right. As I said before, if you're at odds with a fellow Christian, that should be taken care of. If you're not saved, you can come and observe, but you really shouldn't. And I like that they do that at times like the Young People's Conference, where one of the men will stand up and say, if you aren't observing this feast in your own home assembly, we would ask you to just pass the emblem by. You know, it's necessary for them as elders to do that. And there's a lot more that they do, but we don't even know about that sometimes. It's done privately. Let's see, what else? As I said, if you've never been and you want to come and just observe, that's wonderful. Well, you're welcome to see. You just see what's going on. You can see the moving and the leading of the Holy Spirit in the meeting. It's just wonderful. Well, I hope you've gotten some thoughts on this, and that it'll sort of get you thinking about it during the week, and maybe the Lord would have you come sometime. It's how do I say this? I don't want to say it. You know, I don't want to say it's gratifying, and yet it is. You know, that's not what they're there for, or what we're there for us to do. But yet, you come to give, and yet you get such a blessing by being here. Wouldn't you agree, most of you? You just, you know, sometimes when my husband was able to come, we'd talk in the car and we'd go, wasn't that just wonderful, you know, this was this, this was this. You know, it just gives you a wonderful, it gives me goosebumps thinking about how the Lord just leads. It's wonderful. I hope I've piqued your interest if you haven't come. And if you do come, I hope you'll think about preparing during the week. Even though you can't be audible, at least the Lord will put in your heart those thoughts that would proclaim his death until he comes. Well, we're at right on 12, so let's just close in order prayer. I should say, does anybody have anything to say before we close in order prayer? Not just our Lord on Sundays. All the week. Linda. That's right. And that's what it takes is obedience, right? Yeah. Obedience to his request. Okay, am I leaving? I don't want to leave anybody out.
I was just thinking, you know, we're talking about how the Spirit leads, but I have been in some meetings that it doesn't seem as if the Spirit's leading as much, and I think that we can always have that happen if we allow all the busyness of life to get into our midst and all. And it's really important to not only to be concerned about our own life, but to pray that the Lord will help the men, because they've got all kinds of things distracting them.
Yes,
and then to come out, and especially once the families and the kids are all, who knows what, Sunday morning, Satan just loves to distract
them. Right, he certainly
does. And then you get to the meeting, and you think, why doesn't somebody get up and say something?
Mm-hmm.
Or the other thing that I've seen is that you may have some people that, we were at one meeting, and they all had prepared ahead, and one man after another got up, and they just had to have their little message. And it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
And some of them don't know. And so if we can just remember to pray not only for our own spiritual life, but for theirs, that they will understand how to worship, how to let the Spirit lead, and to have the time and take the time in our lives to spend with the Lord so that we are prepared, because it is wonderful. You know, a lot of people, they're always looking for, what can I get out of church?
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering, where can I go where the kids will get the best, and they're changing all the time today.
Yeah.
And then they'll go away for a while and say, oh, I miss the Lord's Supper, I miss the Lord's Supper. But, you know, we need to have our priorities right, and the world is constantly trying to turn us another direction about ourselves, satisfying everything we need, and we don't think about giving. And so if we can just ask that the Lord will help us to be the spiritual people he wants us to be. We'll never be perfect, but just to be more like he wants us to be, and then we can enjoy him so much more.
Those are good points. Oh, so good. Okay, let's just commit this time to the Lord and ask his blessing.